You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We made it to the final hour on this Friday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come in and stay a while. We'll check in with Adam Thielen, the Vikings wide receiver. 14 touchdown receptions this year. Third most in the NFL behind Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams. So he'll join us coming up. Talk about the playoff teams that he faced during the year. A couple of stories here that I wanted to bring to your attention. And, you know, they're kind of off of, the main headlines here, the main sports pages. But 25% of games in the NBA have resulted in 20-point blowouts, as nearly twice the opening two-week average from each season in the last decade. You're seeing a lot of blowout games in the NBA. Now, we haven't had a significant COVID-19 outbreak, and this is before the annual midseason, malaise. You know, before it really starts to become a grind, you're seeing this. I was watching the Nets and the 76ers. The Nets didn't have KD or Kyrie. They blew out the 76ers. It feels like there is load management taking place during games, that you're playing games, you're just load managing. And it's almost like you take a night off. Calvin Murphy, the Hall of Fame broadcaster, Hall of Fame player, broadcaster for the Texans, was caught on a hot mic after the Rockets lost a game. So Calvin Murphy, an NBA Hall of Famer, he's the broadcaster for the Rockets, and he was caught on a hot mic going to break where he said he quit. And he's talking about James Harden quitting during the game that they lost. I'm not accusing anybody of quitting, but it feels like players are taking nights off while they're still in uniform. Just something to keep an eye on. And this is already a shortened season. If you'd like, get in touch with the program, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. Here was another story. The Los Angeles clubhouse attendant for the Angels has named names in pitchers doctoring baseballs. There was a text message from Garrett Cole to Brian Harkins. Brian Harkins, he gets a text. He's the clubhouse guy. He was fired by the Angels. It says, "Hey, Bubba, it's Garrett Cole. I was wondering if you could help me out with this sticky situation." And then in parentheses, winky face emoji. "We don't see you until May, but we have some road games in April that are in cold weather places. That stuff I had last year seizes up when it gets cold." Harkins was fired last March, and he had been there for over 40 years. And he was providing pitchers with an illegal blend of rosin and pine tar, which is obviously a violation of a rule that's really never strictly enforced here. But his attorneys have filed suit against the Angels in baseball. That was back in August, and the defendants filed a motion to dismiss it in early November. But he is naming names with some of these players that he provided the sticky stuff to, this substance that you'll find. And it's a who's who of great pitchers. The clubhouse attendant Harkins claims Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, Edwin Jackson, Max Scherzer, Felix Hernandez, Corey Kluber, Jabba Chamberlain, Adam Wainwright, they are among the pitchers who previously asked for his specific blend of pine tar and rosin, which became popular throughout the league when he made it for former closer Troy Percival. That was more than 20 years ago. He also names current and former Angels players who use this blend. And his nickname is Bubba, and that's why Garrett Cole said that. But he was the visiting clubhouse manager from 1990 until his termination in March of 2020. Percival taught him to place rosin, pine tar, and Moda stick, a form of pine tar, in the bottom of a soda can, melt it with a lighter to create the sticky substance that would be widely distributed to home and away pitchers. Man. Sounds like Walter White is cooking up something here in Breaking Bad. Yeah, Paulie.
The official rule is no player shall intentionally discolor or damage the ball by rubbing with soil, rosin, paraffin, licorice, sandpaper, emery paper, any other foreign substance. They basically say anything. You cannot use spit. You cannot do other things. But But this year, because they don't want you licking your fingers, they allowed you to have a moistened rag in your back pocket to squeeze to get a little wetness for a grip. But that's considered natural because it's part of you.
And there are hitters who I've talked to, former hitters, I should say, who were fine if somebody a pitcher needed grip, because they would rather that you had grip on your breaking ball than not have it and then, you know, throw inside at them. Now, not everybody feels that way, but a text message from Justin Verlander and notes from a subsequent phone call were also prevented as evidence by the former clubhouse attorneys, clubhouse attendance attorneys. In a phone call, Verlander, who pitched with Gerrit Cole and the Astros before Cole left for the Yankees, alleged that baseball began to crack down on pitchers' use of ball doctoring substances when it found out teams were conducting studies to concoct more advanced blends to maximize a pitcher's spin rate, according to Harkins' notes. He is the clubhouse attendant.
I think he had a little like boutique in the, you know, like a little 6 ounce rosin jar.
I don't know if he was selling it at, you know, Sephora or something like that. I'd like some moisturizer, and can I get the sticky stuff there?
Give me the Troy Percival. Worked for him.
With the emoji? Wink, wink, wink. Yes, see.
My nickname's Clutch. Oh. That's interesting.
It's Ken Grippy. That's my...
Okay. Todd, that's a shot. Ken Grippy. That is a shot.
No, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean
to. You kind of did, though.
I should take the rest of the segment off, but I can't, Todd. I can't.
You're just building off of McVeigh. Yeah, I see what you're doing.
Ken Griffey.
I'm still trying to figure out why would they call him Bubba, not the Rosinator or something like that. You had the Inflator. Come on, you got to have a better name than that.
Just lay out. Dan nailed that one.
Yeah, took a shot.
Lay out.
Yeah. Sometimes you just go, hey, you know, I throw the towel in. I take a 20. Take a 20.
You gotta concede this segment.
Nothing wrong with that.
I've been counted out.
Tap out. That should be your nickname. Tap out. Ken Griffey. Come on.
Ken Griffey. All right.
That's a good name for a store for illegal substances for baseball.
Ken Griffey. Let's see. What else do we have? We got our playoff weekend, and the poll question was, if we're going to pull off a surprise, who's pulling off the surprise?
No, the opposite. What's the most likely blowout? And it's actually the Bucks over Washington.
Okay.
Edged out the...
We need a new
Saints
poll
Bears.
Question.
Well, we have this question. It actually comes from a tweet from Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus.
Oh.
He said, if you're going to have an overall draft in the NFL, Deshaun Watson would go number 2 behind Patrick Mahomes. I'm not sure how we would word it, but do we agree with that, that Deshaun Watson, if you were going to start a team, he's 25 years old, would he be the second guy you start with? Mahomes 1, Deshaun Watson 2. Who else is in that mix? Josh Allen?
Well, wait a minute. Am I getting Deshaun Watson on the Texans?
No, you're a brand new team. It's an open draft for the NFL. You don't have to deal with that drama.
Okay.
You don't have to deal with that either.
Because if you're saying I get Deshaun Watson, but I also get the Texans, then no, I would not take him there. Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert, it's a little too soon. It's a little too soon. Kyler Murray, it's a little too soon. Joe Burrow, yes. Because keep in mind, you know, Justin Herbert had a wonderful season, but Baker Mayfield had a great rookie season. He had the second best rookie season prior to Justin Herbert, and then we saw what happened in that second year. I know everybody's in on Justin Herbert. I just know how this happens. You start out shining star, then all of a sudden the defenses adjust a little bit. You take a dip, and then you come back, and then we find out if that third season or that fourth season that you are who we think you are. It happens, and it happens at that position. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Get a couple of phone calls in here. Jeff in Detroit is back with a question. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what up, though? One time for Chatrell. Guy on Chatrell named John Toussaint or Toussaint. I think that's how he pronounces his name, is the meme master. He has a picture of Fritzy. It's the funniest thing in the world. I'm going to try to tweet it real quick to the show. But, Dan, I know you're a man of great integrity and would never give up your sources. But your sources have been dropping some straight golden knowledge on us here, man. My question to you is, has your source ever appeared in any of your interviews in the last 2 years? Have we ever seen your source? You don't have to tell us who he is. It just gets me wondering, have we ever seen him? Because, I mean, you come up with some really, really good stuff, brother.
Thank you, Jeff. I've been doing this a long time, and I would never tell you anything about my sources. Because all you need is probably 4 or 5 sources. And these are sources I've developed when I was at SportsCenter. and I've maintained a relationship with them, and they are people who do not care about the limelight. What I've always said to my sources is just keep me straight, keep me honest on something, because if I say something wrong, I want somebody to correct me. And there's no agenda, because I'll just say, hey, I'm trying to find out, you know, how many Ohio State players tested positive for COVID. And then my source will say, let me see what I can find out. And then come back and say, it's probably close to 20 so far. They're going to be tested again today. They did reach out the Big Ten and Ohio State to see if they could postpone the national title game. They reached out to the SEC commissioner. They also reached out to Alabama and were told no. But I don't know what's going to happen with Ohio State. I was told they have a couple of starters on the defensive line who have tested positive. But, you know, I try to get one in each sport. Baseball, I have two. You get into this and then you break a story and then people will be critical of you if you broke the story. Or people who do this for a living will be critical. Or they'll take what you broke. I tell the audience, I don't care what other websites or other networks carry this, and they can have their own people who take credit for it. I want the audience to know when you're in, you're in. And I appreciate that. And if I can keep you straight on things with what I hear, whether it's a player, a coach, a manager, a team, then I tell you that. And if I don't know, I have no problem saying, I don't know, but I'll try to find out. So that's where I stand. But no, I would never tell you who my sources are. In fact, you probably wouldn't know who my sources are, even if I told you. It's not like we meet in an alley or anything or in a parking lot.
Got an overcoat on?
No. Although I'm very protective because, you know, I've had people that are friends who say, you know, who's your source on this? And I go, no, it ain't happening. It ain't going to happen. So let me see. What else do we have? The Browns, we're going to find out. As of now, there's no more positive tests there for them. Ohio State, we're going to find out. There's no news. They were being tested again with COVID. Does somebody have their microphone on? Because I hear somebody typing.
Sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Seton. The NBA has talked about expansion, and one city that I know is really interested is Seattle. And I guess the price tag is $2.5 billion. I don't know what that gets you. But that's the entry fee, it sounds like, to become an expansion team. If you bring in Seattle, do I have to bring in another city? I hope Seattle. I loved going to Seattle. I love the basketball fans there. I was there for the NBA Finals. I still have a Seattle Supersonics warm-up that I got back in the mid-90s when I was there covering the Sonics against the Bulls. I also have an NBA ball that the Sonics used in warmups. It said Seattle Supersonics on it. And it was given to me by the equipment people there with Seattle. But they gave me a warm-up, and then they gave me one of their basketballs. I still have it. Have it here in the man cave. In fact, if you're watching now, we're showing it to you. But I hated to see them lose their franchise going to Oklahoma City. But there should be no doubt, no question, if Seattle gets a franchise, then you go back to being the Supersonics. Like, that can't even be a discussion. I wouldn't have a naming contest, but they may think differently. Like, the Browns were the Browns. You know, when the Browns went to Baltimore and became the Ravens, you know, they're still the Browns. Yeah, Paul.
What really hurts for Seattle Supersonics fans is 07-08. You know, they had a downtime, but they got Kevin Durant. So they had Kevin Durant for one year. And then they get Harden and Westbrook, and they go on that run. I don't know if they would have gotten the same exact players if they stayed there. But in your mind, that has to be in your head when you're watching Oklahoma City go to 50 wins, 55 wins, 60 wins.
Yeah, no.
No offense.
But is Kevin Durant going to be the greatest player in Sonics history?
You got Gary Payton, Jack Sigma, Sean Kemp, Detlef
Schrempf.
I'll let you finish that. Yeah. Nate McMillan.
Yeah. They had some talent that went through there. That Seattle team.
You were a big Dale Ellis guy.
I love Dale Ellis. Dale Ellis was one of the first long shooters. You know, when you shoot a three, we always think you get right up to the line. Dale Ellis, he didn't care about the line. They had Ray Ray, too. Ray Allen for 5 years there. They've had two of the greatest shooters in the history of the game. Ray's top five. Dale Ellis is there. Now you throw in, well, Durant was only there for a year, but one of the great shooters of all time. Yeah, McLovin.
How did that 70s Sonics team win a title? I don't feel like they were loaded with superstar names we remember.
No, they weren't. But they had three or four guards. Lenny Wilkins was the coach. Gus Williams was on there. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, Jack Sigma, that championship team, Dennis Johnson, Gus Williams, John Johnson, Lonnie Shelton, Fred Brown, Paul Silas.
Yeah, downtown Freddie Brown. It was just a really good team. I don't think it was a great team, or how, you know, we don't think of them as a great team, but they played like a great team. Yeah, McLovin.
I always look at the 70s champions, and it seems like a ragtag time for the NBA. Is that fair to say? I mean, I heard all the stereotypes that the league was, loose.
You still had the ABA, and you didn't have Magic and Bird, and then you didn't have Jordan. But, there's no TV contract, big TV contract back then. You know, the fact that Golden State won, Golden State, I could make a case that is, it doesn't sound right to say the least talented, but the least known NBA champion in a long time. You had Rick Barry, you had Clifford Ray, you had Derek Dickey, you had, Sonny Parker was on there. Like, you just had guys and you go, wow. And they won a title. And I think they beat the Bullets that year. And the Bullets had a lot of talent then. Yeah, Paul.
But if you go back and look at pictures from the 70s of the NBA, there's plaid pants, plaid jackets, a lot of tweed.
Afros.
Turtlenecks, afros.
Afros.
Mustaches, tight shorts, tall socks.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
That's right in my wheelhouse there. Right in my wheelhouse.
Hair parted down the middle.
Yep. Jeff in Texas. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind? Then we'll take a break.
Hey, DP. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
First time, long time. 6'1", 230. Just turned 43. Benched personal best, 325.
Whoa.
I wanted to say I love you guys. I wanted to say, Fritzy, you're my absolute favorite. Don't stop being you, Fritzy.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Jeff. Somebody
it's
such a shame. He was going to say all these nice things about you.
I know, you cut him off or whatever. Something happened there.
Ironically, he's a fan of Fritzy and his mic crapped out.
He had a whole soliloquy prepared for me.
Wow.
Offense.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for, I think, those kind words for Todd. Thank you, Todd.
It's funny. The guy calls in to get pounded, and all we do is just bag on Fritzy even more, which is why he felt compelled to call in and say, you keep being you. Don't listen to those jerks.
And I'm like the only one that didn't have mic problems today, and I'm getting crushed somehow.
Oh.
Wow. Dang. Took a shot at McLovin?
Here we go.
What?
Wow. Do you see the tire track on my back right now and my back row friend there?
That's actually not true, Todd. It's very much in your nature.
I really don't like to go to that. I have to keep it in my back pocket.
Not
but
true.
If I'm provoked enough, then,
You got the same clothes on from yesterday.
I do. I didn't sleep in it, but I am wearing the same clothes as yesterday.
Okay. Yes, McLovin.
He's been looking to pay me back ever since Thanksgiving or whatever the last time that I stole his names bit from him.
And
he's been looking for something.
Oh, man. Todd, you got to let it go. Like, McLovin just, he just added something to your name.
And it was unique.
He didn't try to steal it.
No, it was unique and it was different and it spiced things up a little bit instead of the same old.
Yeah, you get so territorial with stuff.
I do.
Even mock headlines or even just a name, a play on a name.
Like Sean McVeigh.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah, that hurt.
I'm
Ken Grippy.
That.
Ken Grippy hurt
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it did. I'm going to take the
I
long way
why
home.
That one makes me laugh.
I'm going to take the long way home to let funny. That digest a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. It's take
I'm
a while
Ken Grippy. Well, Todd has a pie to the face coming up. And we have chicken pot pies coming. Todd wanted chicken pot pies, and he said, all right, but you got to take the blueberry pie to the face. You lost the bet for Washington making the playoffs.
Seems fair.
Yeah, it does. All right, let me take a break. Adam Thielen, the Vikings wide receiver, will join us. More phone calls as well. It's 21 after the hour, and this is the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Dan Patrick Show brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Go the extra mile, your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. You could win Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules, visit foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com by January 24th, Mercedes-Benz vans. Todd put it out that we're going to have Adam Thielen on of the Vikings, but you said catch Adam Thielen. We're going to catch up with Adam Thielen.
Did you see that? You picked up on that. Was that weak?
Well, that's like the Today Show, a morning show would do.
It was too easy.
Hey, we're going to catch up with him.
Kind of lame. Yeah. Well, Adam will save me because he's got much more interesting creative things to say than I could come up with.
I do have a question here for you guys before I get to Adam Thielen. The most touchdown passes by an undrafted player in a season in NFL history. This is touchdown, most all-time touchdowns in a season. Now, Adam Thielen is one. The guy before him who tied his record. So, tied for the most all-time by an undrafted player. Doug Baldwin of the Seattle Seahawks.
So I was going to go with. Thank you, Baldwin.
2015. He's Adam Thielen, the Vikings wide receiver, as we catch up with him. And he joins us now. How are you feeling?
Pretty good. Can't complain. Just got a little conditioning in before I got on the show, so feeling good.
All right. I'm looking at what you guys did, the Vikings did, your 2020 playoff teams. 1-1 versus the Packers, 1-1 versus the Bears, lost to the Colts, lost to the Titans, lost to the Seahawks, lost to the Bucks, lost to the Saints. So 2-7 there. Best team that you faced this year is who?
That's a great question. Probably the Bucks, just the way that they were able to play defense, get after us, get after the passer. They got guys at every level on defense, and then the way that they're able to spread the ball around on offense and the weapons they have on offense is pretty impressive.
Okay, give me that defense, though. Tampa's defense, how impressive?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just starts with their front seven. I mean, the way that they're able to get after the passer, the way that they're able to stop the run, fly around. I mean, obviously, we have a pretty good run game in Minnesota, and they're just able to fly around. And then in the back end, there are no slouches there. So I think, there's a few of those teams. I mean, you look at the Colts, very similar. You look at the Packers, very similar. I think those playoff teams that have a chance to go a long ways. They have guys that can get after the passer, and they have guys in the back end that can cover. So it's a good formula.
Can you root for the Packers or do you like because they're in your division? Like, do you want them to do well because they're in your division, or do you have to root against them?
I don't necessarily root for or against, to be honest. I just love watching playoff football. So I just love watching. Kind of evaluating just watching close games. So I'm just hoping for some good football. I think there's going to be some great games, especially, tomorrow and Sunday. So it should be fun to watch.
Yeah, but let's say the game is hanging in the balance. The Bears have a chance to win with a game-winning field goal. And you could swipe it one way or another. The Bears beat the Saints or they lose in dramatic fashion. What would you do?
I'd rather have the Bears win.
You would?
Yeah. Over the Saints? Yeah.
But they're in your division.
I know. But it is what it is.
But you guys have had issues with the Saints before. So, and vice versa, too. But
right.
Do you hate the Packers? Like, are you programmed? You grew up a Vikings fan. Are you programmed to hate the Packers?
I mean, let's just put it this way. There's not another team I like beating more than the Packers. So it goes both ways, right? Like, there's nothing worse than losing to the Packers. So, and they've had our number as of late. So, but there's nothing better than beating the Packers, especially at Lambeau.
But does it get chippy? Like, is it different?
They, I wouldn't say it gets chippy with them. I think they're pretty, I got a lot of friends on that team. I think a lot of those guys are they're good football players and they're good people. So I really enjoy playing against teams that have, respect for one another. Now, at the end of the day, yeah, you want to beat them and you want to beat them bad. But still, it's nice to have, mutual respect and go out there and play a clean football game. So I enjoy that and probably why I'm not going to necessarily root against any of those teams.
Have you ever had any interesting conversations that continue throughout the game with a defensive back?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, interesting. Or, like, do they get, does it get, you know, really trash talk, or is somebody actually can carry on a conversation with you?
Oh, I think there's a little bit of both. Depends on who you're playing. Some guys, I'm not going to go into names, but some guys are a little weird with the way they talk, like, you know, complimenting, you know, asking how the family's doing, you know, like almost like overly nice. So that's kind of weird.
And so it's faux compliments. Like it's not real.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
You don't really know, right? It's kind of like a little bit of like over the top and a little bit of maybe, but it's just kind of a weird like head game maybe that they're trying to play. And then you got the other side where it's like way over the top the other way, like, you know, saying that I'm going to punch you in the face if you say a word. Which gets a little weird. Like you're going to punch me in the face with a helmet on. It's a little weird.
What warrants getting punched in the face or somebody just say that to you?
That's a great question. That's why I think it's weird and it's a little over the top. But
well, do they start the game by say, feeling, I'm going to punch you in the face today?
Yeah, like plays over and you know, I like to, you know, talk a little bit on the field, you know, have fun with it. And you know, I looked at the guy and I'm like, why are you talking right now? Like he was talking smack to our teammate and he looked at me and said, say a word and I'll punch you in the face. So I'm like, all right, man, like I got a helmet on, like it punched me, that's fine.
You know, you start to look at the Vikings growing up, and it was right in your wheelhouse with Moss and Chris Carter. Have you talked to them about, you know, being a wide receiver? What goes into it? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was pretty cool. I've been able to talk to them both, have pretty good conversations with them, you know, just talking football. I did an interview with Randy Moss a few years back, and he didn't even necessarily want to do the interview. He just wanted to talk ball, which I thought was fun and cool. And, you know, he was teaching me about some of the things that he did to help him and his routes and things like that. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Do you fanboy at all? Do you ask for jerseys? Like when you face the Saints or Brady with the Buccaneers, Aaron Rodgers, would you ask for a jersey from any of those guys?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting to do. I like to do it, you know, guys that I get to know, you know, play against a lot, you know, maybe get to know off the field for sure. I need to ask some of those guys for their jerseys because I've got to know a few of them. But yeah, you know, if I don't really know them, it's kind of awkward. And I'm sure, like, you know, Brady and Rodgers and those guys, I mean, they probably get asked by 15 people every game for their jersey. So I try to avoid that. But hopefully if I, you know, you build a relationship with them off the field and maybe we'll get one day. But yeah, it's just kind of a weird deal when you're talking to guys like that.
Well, also you need to have the clubhouse guy go over and ask because you can't ask because you don't want to be told no. So you'd rather the clubhouse guy went over and asked for Aaron Rodgers. Would you put up Aaron Rodgers' jersey?
I would, yeah. Aaron and I have got to have a pretty good relationship, so definitely would because of our, you know, off the field relationship. He loves to play golf. I love to play golf. So we played a lot together in Lake Tahoe at the tournament there and got to know him pretty well. He knows my family and all that. So definitely would put his up.
Packers, Saints, Buccaneers, other, who makes the Super Bowl in the NFC?
Well, that's a tough one. I think it's between the Saints, or not the Saints, the Buccaneers and Packers. If I were a betting man, that's who I would bet on. Between those two, I don't really know. I mean, obviously, the first meeting wasn't great between them for the Packers, obviously. But I would have to imagine, you know, going to Lambeau if those two played each other, that that'd be a lot better game. So we'll see.
Which defense would you rather face? Buccaneers or the Packers?
I would rather face the Packers because we were able to run the ball pretty well against them in the second meeting. But they're both very similar, to be honest. There's not much difference between the two. Both are top defenses in the NFL.
How many minivans does Kirk Cousins have?
He has one van. But then the rest of his cars are basically vans, but they're not vans. So,
He just strikes me as he's a minivan guy.
He's not a minivan guy. He's more of like the Astro van with like the creepy curtains. But yeah, he's an interesting guy. It's unbelievable. He loves cars, but will not spend the money on buying a car. So he tries to get the best deals. I think he has a deal back home with like a Toyota dealership or something. Or no, I think it's a Honda dealership. So I think he does have a van back home from the Honda dealership.
Hey, it's great to talk to you. Congratulations on the season there, Adam. We appreciate your time.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks.
That's Adam Thielen of the Vikings. So 2-7 against the playoff team. He knew how to lose against the playoff teams. They did beat the Packers, and they did beat the Bears. Yes, Paul.
Now, if you're a wide receiver and the defensive back opened the game with, you say one word, and I'm punching you in the face, yeah. Don't you bait him? Don't you do everything you can to get that guy out of the game? Because you're wearing a helmet. Nothing hurts on a football player. And Adam even said, he goes, yeah, great. Punch me in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of...
That'd be awesome.
And it's, if you say a word, I'm going to punch you in the face. Could you just say word? You say a word, I'll punch you in the face. Word. Yes, McLovin.
You know what I hate when a cornerback's down like three touchdowns and like there's one incomplete pass and they're jumping around and doing this motion? Like, yeah, we stopped them. And you know Mahomes is going to throw a touchdown on the next pass. I feel like cornerbacks over-celebrate.
Let me see. Get a couple of phone calls here and we'll take a break. The Popeyes are coming off the Traeger grill. Anthony in Florida joins us. Hey, Anthony, how are you?
Hey, Dan. This is actually Anthony in California. I want to say Happy New Year, give a shout-out to Chat Row, and thank you for a great show yesterday. So
thank
here's
you,
my question for you.
All right.
I've been binge-watching Columbo lately. It's just so much fun. So keeping your great depth of acting skills in mind, I'd like to know, if they rebooted the TV show, would you like to be A, Columbo,
no,
and relentlessly hound the killer until you get them to confess, or B, the broadcaster who gets killed by a Danette after threatening to expose some deep, dark secret, or C, the broadcaster who kills a Danette in a fit of rage and then tries to cover it up, but gets relentlessly hounded by Columbo until you have no choice but to confess.
Anthony, it's a little deep, a little dark. It's Friday. We got a half hour to go. I got my weekend, and you're talking about killing a Danette?
You're more of a gym teacher climbing a rope guy.
Yeah.
Water slide guy.
Columbo, Peter Falk, great character. But... They reboot everything, but I don't want to see them. I guess I could see Monk, the guy who played Monk. Maybe he could be Columbo. What's his name?
Tony Shalhoub?
Yes. Great actor. I don't know. Like, you have to have the mannerisms of Peter Falk and Columbo, but that's back in the 70s. But it feels like, you know, we love to reboot things. And I don't know. You want to bring back Columbo? I guess. You know, the show that they can't bring back? But I would love to know if they could, how it would look and sound and feel now is All in the Family with Archie Bunker. That was so far ahead of its time back in the 70s. Archie Bunker and, you know, Norman Lear. Norman Lear's impact on TV, and I think he's like in his late 90s now, but really unbelievable in his creativity and you know what he saw when he saw it and to put that on network TV. Yes,
so Dan, you remember Archie Bunker? Carol O'Connor was the actor who played the old crusty guy.
Yeah.
How old do you think Carol O'Connor was when he was on Archie Bunker? What's the number that pops in your head?
He looked like he was in his late 50s.
He was 46 years old.
Yeah, but that's almost like Wilford Brimley. In Cocoon. Yeah.
He had just turned 50.
You and Wilford Brimley are the same age.
Fritzy and I are a year older than Wilford Brimley was when he shot Cocoon. And he looked like he was 95 years old.
Yes, he did. Wilford Brimley for Quaker Oats.
There's this funny thing on Twitter. It's called the Wilford Brimley line. And when you turn 50 and 2 months, which I think that was the age of Wilford Brimley and Cocoon.
Then they put your photo next to it.
Yeah, like Josh Duhamel is going to do it one day.
Yeah. You got diabetes. I'm Wilford Brimley for Quaker Oats.
You got diabetes.
Yeah. Just the way he said it. You got diabetes? No, I got diabetes, but I don't have diabetes. You got diabetes? All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back. Last call for phone calls. If you're watching, we will unveil our chicken pot pie. Ooh, I'm looking right out at the Traeger Grill area. I got a fire burning. It's a little nip in the air, a little chill. Pot pies coming off the Traeger. Yeah, Paulie?
I have actors who are the same age as Wilford Brimley in Cocoon. Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey is the same age as Wilford Brimley was in Cocoon?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Jennifer Aniston.
Oh.
Jason Bateman. Oh. Jason Bateman looks like
he could be 35.
So funny.
My wife will now compare me to guys that are similar age. Like, she'll go, you look good for your age. And I'll go, why? And then she'll mention somebody. And I'll go, wait, you're comparing me to him? Therefore, I look good? How about leave out for your age? And she'll go, no, I mean, it's a compliment. You know, I saw such and such, and gosh, you're the same age, and you look so much better. And I go, is there a compliment in here? Imagine if I did that to you, hon. You know what? For your age, you know, I saw such and such, and you look pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to make up the couch on the bed. That's my bed. All right, we'll take a break. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I had a lot of great conversations with Tommy over the years. Great character, Hall of Fame manager, always available, always fun, always talking about Dodger Blue. He had been in the hospital for a lengthy stay, got out, and just got word from MLB that he passed away at the age of 93. He was with the Dodgers in some way, shape, or form for 71 seasons. Came up as a player, and not much of a player, and he's been married 70 years. His wife's still alive. Been married 70 years. You know, Dodger fans, and I always look at this at certain cities when you have legends. You know, you had Chick Hearn for how many decades? You had Vin Scully for how many years? Tommy Lasorda, you know, being there with the Dodgers. Like, just having that continuity, that familiarity. And, you know, sometimes you take it for granted. You know, Jerry West has been a fixture in Los Angeles. But you have that, and sometimes you don't realize that other cities don't have that. But Los Angeles certainly has been blessed with many, many great names, legends, people. All right, McLevin, final results of the poll question.
Okay, so I put up at the last hour, if you could pick anyone other than Mahomes to start a team with, who would it be? Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, and we forgot Lamar Jackson before, too. Deshaun Watson actually wins that, but it's really close. Everybody's grouped closely.
All right. Adrian in Florida joins us. Hey, Adrian.
Yo, DP, Danettes. Happy New Year. First time, long time, 510, 185. Hey, I'm actually calling from Eglin Air Force Base. I got F-22 and F-15 fighters overhead making what we call the sound of freedom, so it's pretty cool here. But, hey, here's my question, right? So I'm a founding member of the Houdat Nation. Big Saints fan. I know we can't look past the Bears this weekend, but do we want Tampa Bay to be playing Green Bay and beating up on them, or do we want to go up to Green Bay and play them, you know, in the very near future? What are your thoughts?
Oh, I don't know. I think if you ask Drew Brees, any route that gets me into the Super Bowl, I'll take that. It doesn't matter. You don't want to be picky. You don't go, you know what, we want to face the best this or that, best quarterback, best defense. No, you just want to get in. I mentioned the Golden State Warriors. You know, these teams in the 70s weren't necessarily great teams that won titles. You know, the regular season winning percentage. We were talking about Seattle Supersonics. Seattle Supersonics, when they won 63% of their games. The 77 Bullets won 53% of their games. Now, they went on to win the NBA title. Let's see. Golden State in 74, they won 58% of their titles. They were 48-34. What else? Blazers in 76, 77, when they won the title, they won 59%. I think that Golden State with Rick Barry was more of a faceless team than most of these other teams. I think the Bullets with Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld maybe had Bobby Dandridge back then. Seattle had names there with Jack Sikma, Gus Johnson. Portland had Walton and Maurice Lucas, but Golden State had Rick Barry, and it felt like that was all they had, Rick Barry and then a bunch of guys that were unbelievable role players. Like they, and that's another thing that when you find guys, and Portland is a classic example of that, guys who understood their role every single night, didn't try to be more than what they were, but they knew who they were. And, you know, there's a common thread with those teams. Maybe not great teams, but they played as a great team. They're, you know, they played together. Let's go around the room, what we learned on the program. Back left with Todd, who's going to get a pie to the face coming up in about a minute or so. Todd?
It seems like NBA teams are engaging in load management during games, taking nights off, leading to an increase in early blowouts.
Yeah, it really, at an alarming rate, we're seeing a lot of blowouts in the NBA. There was a blowout last night with the Nets without Kyrie and KD beating Philadelphia. McLovin, what'd you learn today?
Once again, you broke Todd's heart, Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, no. Why do you got to do that?
No, no. Sean McVeigh.
Okay.
That was pretty good, too.
Yes, it was.
Big week for me. Seton O'Connor, what'd you learn?
Todd's weekend ruined.
Yeah, I did it again.
Miserable. Once again.
Yep, yep. Pie to the face coming up. You're going to do it yourself. I'm not going to. I don't want to get close.
Okay.
All right. Paulie, what'd you learn?
Some positive news for Fritzy. He was able to open a can with a can opener in under 8 minutes.
What did I learn, Todd?
Sean Salisbury thinks the Jaguars should go all in on hiring Urban Meyer as their next head coach.
What we learned brought to you by Built Bar, simply the best tasting protein bar around. 18 amazing flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, pumpkin, chocolate chip cookie. You'll believe me when you taste it. Go to BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP for 20% off. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the football. Talk to you on Monday.